Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports, or as I like to say, Fri-yay. That's right, you are just hours away from the weekend beginning. Congrats, you have made it. And we're so happy that you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your Friday afternoon. Welcome to the show, coming to you live here on WKAR AM 870, 1051 FM. I'm a bit salty today. Because, you know, today's a big day. Supposed to be a big day, right, in Current Sports history. And, you know, we are expected to have a live broadcast right in front of Cooley Law School Stadium, home of the Lansing Lugnuts. The Lugnuts taking on Peoria tonight, the final game of a three-game set. But Mother Nature is not cooperating. Now, we have been following this throughout the week. I saw it on my phone, looking at my weather updates, and I knew it was coming. I knew there was a strong possibility that rain was going to be in the forecast today. And it looks as though the rain is literally going to rain on our Current Sports parade, as this is supposed to be our very first time that we have taken the show on the road. Again, scheduled from 6 to 7 p.m. Depending on the weather, depending on how things pan out, we're not sure if the game will get canceled. If the game does get canceled, we'll be running PBS News Hour from 6 to 7. But if not, you know, I may not be in front of Cooley Law School Stadium doing the show. I may be in the press box doing it. All right. So I'll say this. With the exception of a cancellation of tonight's Lansing Lugnuts game, we'll still be doing the show somehow, some way. All right. So, again, from 6 to 7 p.m., please keep it locked to our social media pages at facebook.com/WKAR News. Also, you can follow my Twitter feed at Al Martin WKAR, or follow the show at WKAR_sports, as we will have an update as to what's going to happen with tonight's broadcast. All right. And, you know, if by some stretch of the imagination we're able to pull this thing off, please come down and say hi from 6 to 7. All right, I would love that. All right, so, yeah, rain, go away. All right, in the meantime, though, we have a great hour of sports talk in store for all of you listening right now. On today's Current Sports, we will talk about the National Football League and the NFL Players Association. In continuing talks, when trying to figure out this whole national anthem protest. Now, previously, before today, you guys know that the NFL had gone on to approve a national anthem policy that would punish any player who went out on the field prior to the game during the national anthem and decided to take a knee. Now, players who, wanted to protest, you had the option of staying in the locker room, if that was so. But if you were to go out on the field and take a knee and protest, there was going to be a punishment that was going to come down from the league. Well, NFL, you didn't think that the Players Association will have something to say about that? Well, they did. And they had decided to appeal that And there was also a story that broke yesterday concerning the national anthem policy and a certain team down in Florida, that being the Miami Dolphins. So we'll bring these new revelations concerning the NFL and the national anthem policy to the front of the show. I'll have a lot of discussion on it. Don't miss that. And as promised, we have not one, but two guests that will be joining me throughout these next 60 minutes. Our first guest, excited about this interview, our first guest will be Amanda Smith, who is a survivor of Larry Nassar. She was present out in Los Angeles, California on Wednesday at the ESPYs Awards, on stage receiving the Arthur Ashe Courage Award along with her sister survivors. Amanda Smith will join me live here on Current Sports to talk about that experience. And we will also, of course, have James Moore a part of Current Sports today. Swap meet with James Moore, who is a former Michigan State University fullback, great for the 1988 Rose Bowl champion team, now a philanthropist and motivational speaker and founder of the Speaking with a Purpose campaign. James will comment on how Michigan State University moves on from the Larry Nassar scandal and heals in light of this unfortunate tragedy. And we will have Reflection Friday for you all as we reflect on the week that has been here on WKAR's Current Sports and Beyond. If you would like to be a part of the fun, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and check out the live stream there and comment below that video if you would like to weigh in. And you can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Okay, to start off, we have some breaking news coming from the Lansing State Journal. A former Michigan State University strength and conditioning coach for the MSU men's basketball team was convicted on two felony counts today in connection with a crash that killed a mother and daughter last summer in southeast Michigan. A jury in Monroe County Circuit Court deliberated about 4 hours over 2 days before finding Todd Moyer of Holt, Michigan, guilty on two counts of distracted driving causing death. Moyer is 38 years old. He had been suspended from his MSU position shortly after charges were filed in November. The university allowed his contract to run out on June 30th, and he is no longer employed by Michigan State University. That's according to Matt Larson, spokesman for MSU Athletics. Moyer's sentencing was scheduled for August 30th. He faces a maximum sentence of up to 15 years in prison on each count. The judge ruled that Moyer will remain free until sentencing in late August, but added additional terms to his bond, including a 10 p.m. curfew. So again, breaking news. Again, this is coming from the Lansing State Journal. Former Michigan State University strength and conditioning coach Todd Moyer of Holt for the Michigan State men's basketball team was convicted on two felony counts today in connection with a crash that unfortunately killed a mother and daughter last summer. We'll be following that story in the coming weeks. All right. Now to much lighter news, right? Michigan State men's basketball, the schedule is about to be put together as the Las Vegas Invitational is on the docket for MSU men's hoops this upcoming season. Michigan State will take on UCLA at 10 p.m. on November 22nd, from Orleans Arena in the second game of the 18th annual event. North Carolina and Texas will tip off at 7:30 p.m. in the first game. The winners will square off at 6:30 p.m. on November 23rd, following the third-place game that starts at 4 p.m. This is the first time Michigan State is playing in the Sin City Tournament and will be the ninth all-time meeting with UCLA. The meeting between them was a 78-76 UCLA victory in the first round of the 2011 NCAA tourney in Tampa, Florida. That was the last meeting between the two. All right, former Grand Ledge baseball star and MVP of this year's Diamond Classic, Braden Stokes has verbally committed to play for Eastern Michigan University to continue his baseball career. The pitcher and outfielder is coming off an amazing season from his high school and has high reviews from the higher-ups, saying that he is very coachable and works hard to be the best player he can be. All right, Lansing United in the playoffs tonight, folks. The Premier Development League playoffs kick off tonight. Lansing United begins its playoff run as they face off against the Des Moines Menace tonight in the conference semifinal. They finish the regular season with 7 wins, 5 draws, 2 losses, and were second place in the Midwest region. Again, you can actually, I heard Jeremy Sampson speak on another show this morning. He is the owner of Lansing United, and they will actually be streaming that matchup tonight. I'm pretty sure that information will be made available on the Lansing United Facebook page. And again, that match will take place between the Des Moines Menace, I like that name a lot, tonight at 8:30 p.m. So set your clock for that, right? Congratulations to Jeremy Sampson and Lan U for this run as well. Wishing them luck tonight. All right, Chris Chelios is leaving the Detroit Red Wings to return to his hometown of Chicago. Chelios spent a decade with the Wing Wheel as a player from 1999 to 2009, and he also has been an advisor for the team. His Hall of Fame career as a defenseman started in Montreal before he spent 8 years with the Blackhawks. This is what Chelios said yesterday. Quote, "For me, this is an opportunity to move back to Chicago to be closer to family. And in particular, my mother. I began to seriously consider moving home last February after the passing of my father. Now that my children have all graduated, it seems like the ideal time for my wife, Tracy, and I to make the move," end quote. Chelios was traded to Detroit in March of 1999, and he remained with the Red Wings through the 08-09 season before finishing his career with a brief stint with Atlanta back in 09 to 2010. All right, the Detroit Tigers are facing off against the team that is first place in the MLB, that being the Boston Red Sox. Former Detroit Tigers pitcher David Price is pitching against the D for the first time since he was traded to Toronto for Daniel Norris and Matthew Boyd. Price pitched parts of 2 seasons with the Tigers in 2014-15, going 13-8 with a 2.90 ERA over 32 starts. The Tigers will also see a familiar face in slugger J.D. Martinez, who leads the majors with 29 homers and 80 RBIs. Catch that game live at Comerica Park tonight at 7:10 p.m. All right, and new Detroit Pistons head coach Dwayne Casey said that his coaching staff is complete with yesterday's announcement of 2 veteran assistants added to his staff. Tim Gertrich and Micah Norrie join Sidney Lowe, Sean Sweeney, and developmental coach DJ Baker to round out the staff. Now, Lowe will serve as Casey's lead assistant, with Sweeney and Norrie rounding out the 3 allotted seats on the bench with Dwayne Casey. And more NBA news here. Carmelo Anthony on the move yet again, this time to the Atlanta Hawks as part of a 3-team trade. The Oklahoma City Thunder traded the 34-year-old forward and a protected 2022 first-round pick to the Hawks in exchange for point guard Dennis Schroeder and forward Timothy Luwawu Cabarrot from the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, the 76ers will send guard Justin Anderson to Atlanta for forward Mike Muscala as part of the deal. The Hawks are expected to buy out all of Melo's $27.9 million contract, making him an unrestricted free agent. So Melo, he won't. Let's be real here. He won't be playing with the Atlanta Hawks because the Hawks are going to buy out Carmelo for almost $30 million. We don't know where Melo will be playing next season, but it must be nice for Melo. You know, he doesn't know where he's going, but yet he still cashes in on almost 30 mil. So, yeah, there you have that. All right. The NFL National Anthem saga took another turn this week as simply filing paperwork turned into a PR nightmare for a team and the league. Yesterday afternoon, the Miami Dolphins' proposed anthem policy leaked to the Associated Press. Under the proposed policy, the Dolphins would discipline players who protest during the national anthem with suspensions rumored to be as high as 4 games. Are you kidding me? Also included in the possible disciplinary action are fines as well. In a statement, the Dolphins confirm they sent the NFL the document without offering specifics on what plans it laid out. In addition, a league source said the Miami Dolphins' submission of potential discipline is standard protocol, followed by every team before training camp opens. Hours later, the NFL and the NFL Players Association issued a joint statement regarding the anthem policy, which I'll read later on. All right. Well, that'll be our hot button topic to lead today's current sports. All right. And again, a reminder that current sports, we are scheduled to take the show on the road for the first time ever this evening from 6 to 7 p.m. Now, as many of you know here in Michigan, those of you who have gotten out the house, you guys know it's been raining today. All right. And rain is expected throughout the afternoon and leading into the evening. That could affect what we plan to do tonight. So, again, I want to remind you all to keep it locked to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News, as well as our Twitter feeds at Al Martin. WKAR is my Twitter handle. And keep it locked to the show's Twitter handle at WKAR_sports, as we will have updates as to what we plan to do about tonight's broadcast. All right. Rain, go away. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it pushing.
Showed up at 8 o'clock. Before you took this meeting with LeBron, did you speak to Lonzo Ball's father to make sure it was okay? Okay to recruit him to be a part of the team?
I would have called you first before I called LeBron Ball. Trust me. So I got there at 8, and I said,
"You're an hour early."
Oh, I'm.
What'd you do, sit in the car?
That's right.
Okay.
I'm an on-time guy. I was just hoping that I didn't have to go to the bathroom. I was like, okay.
But that would be a weird way to start.
Exactly. Yeah. And I would have got fined because I had to go early, right?
Yeah, right. But that would have been an expensive pee. Yeah.
I'm probably.
So you get to LeBron's house.
And I'm sitting out there, and I wait for 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So at 9 o'clock, I inch to the gate.
Okay.
But I don't ring the buzzer till 9:01.
They really have you paranoid, don't they?
Oh, man. I'm not. I'm a competitor, so I'm not scared of Golden State. I'm not worried about Golden State. They don't keep me up at night. I know that we have a really solid team and a good team and a competitive team and a tough-minded team. And we got guys now who are winners. LeBron James brings a championship mentality to our team. So does Rondo. He's won a championship with Boston.
Sure, yeah.
Ah, that is the great Irvin Magic Johnson, Lansing's favorite son, on the Jimmy Kimmel late night show this week discussing what went down in that meeting, that sit down at LeBron James's house that convinced LeBron to jump aboard the L.A. Lakers ship. Very cool stuff, right? I mean, watching Magic sit on that couch and talk to Jimmy and kind of open up as to the details of that meeting. Irvin admitting that he showed up an hour early. That is how it's done, right? To be early is to be on time. To be on time is to be late. I love it, Magic, especially when it comes to recruiting one of the greatest basketball players of all time at the height of his powers in LeBron James. That's how it's done. He showed up early, sat in his car, you know, probably rehearsed his spiel. And what you didn't hear in that snippet, as I watched that interview, is that, you know, LeBron, you know, Magic goes to the door. Well, he rang the buzzer at 9:01 after to make sure that he wouldn't get fined, right? Because that's when it was open for free agency meetings to take place at 9 a.m. And, you know, he rang the buzzer and he goes in. Well, was it 9 p.m.? Was it 9 a.m. or 9 p.m.? Was that in the morning or at night, Connor? I'm curious. When did that deadline begin?
I'm pretty sure it was in the morning.
Was it in the morning?
I think for meetings, because the moratorium is the one that starts at midnight, because that's when right. Everyone starts tweeting out all the deals that may or may not be in place. But I think it's in the morning when you can actually talk to people.
In the morning. Okay, so this wasn't a late night visit, all right? So in the morning, that's what I thought, right? And he buzzes LeBron's gate. The gate's open. LeBron lets him in. He comes to the door. He's rocking, you know, some shorts and his LeBron gear. And they sat down and talked about, one, where they're from. They're both Midwest, you know, men. You know, LeBron being from Ohio, Magic being from Michigan. And he talked about their upbringing. And then LeBron James proceeded to go through the entire L.A. Lakers roster and know each player's strengths and weaknesses. Very knowledgeable of the team. And then Magic goes on to talk about, you know, his career with the Lakers and the expectations that he had and the expectations that the L.A. Lakers organization has. I mean, this is an amazing meeting. And if you have not picked up the latest issue of Sports Illustrated, it even goes into more detail of the meeting and talks about how it was like, you know, two guys just chopping it up on a level that not many people can relate to. Right. And it talked about when Magic Johnson had that rough NBA Finals back in the day, and everybody started to call him Tragic Johnson. Well, if you remember back in 2011 when LeBron James didn't show up with the Miami Heat against the Dallas Mavericks, everybody criticized LeBron James's greatness, right? So they kind of related to each other when it came to that. But again, this is the biggest sports story of the summer, LeBron James going to the Lakers. And then, as you heard, Magic Johnson opening up and saying that he is not afraid of the Golden State Warriors, because not too long after LeBron James said, yeah, I'm going to the West Coast and taking my talents to Los Angeles, you saw what the Golden State Warriors did in acquiring DeMarcus Cousins from the New Orleans Pelicans. So I found that snippet interesting, though, because Magic, the competitor that he is, he basically said, look, I'm not afraid of the Warriors. All right. Magic should be afraid of the Warriors, though, but when you're an uber competitor like Magic Johnson is, the great Magic Johnson, you don't care who is on the other side en route to you possibly winning a championship. You are trying to figure out how to beat them. So very cool stuff there. All right. Briefly, before we get to our first guest on today's Current Sports, again, we will be welcoming in just a moment Amanda Smith, survivor of Larry Nassar, who joined her sister survivors out in L.A. to receive the Arthur Ashe Courage Award I mean, what a scene that was. Very, very powerful. Amanda was there. She was on stage, side by side, her sister survivors receiving that award. Amanda's going to talk about that moment, what it was like flying out there and receiving that award. You don't want to miss that. Trust me. She'll be joining me live here in Studio West. Before I get to that, Connor, you just heard me bring up this story coming out of the camp of the NFL as it pertains to the national anthem protest. This is a story that will not die. But I find it quite comical how the NFL's PR has totally botched this entire thing. You know, first the NFL comes out, Connor, and says, all right, we have come to a resolution as it pertains to the disciplinary action of any player who decides to take a knee in protest of the national anthem. You're going to be fined. You could be suspended. If you are going to do this, we encourage you to stay in the locker room. So the NFL says this, announces this, and releases it to the public, not thinking it through. You didn't think that the NFL Players Association was going to have something to say about this, was going to have an appeal to this. So in this appeal process, the talks are now ongoing, and then it was leaked yesterday by the Miami Dolphins that players for the Dolphins could be suspended up to, I kid you not, folks, I laughed when I heard this. I laughed that the Dolphins actually proposed this to the National Football League, that players could be suspended for up to 4 games if they participated in national anthem protests under a new team policy, not league policy. The league allows you to do this, allows teams to implement its own policies. Of course, it has to be approved by the higher ups of the National Football League. But the Dolphins actually tried to do this, a 4-game suspension for anybody who participated in the national anthem protest. You know, we've had this conversation a lot here on Current Sports, and I feel like there are those who are for the protest, those against it. I don't feel like there will ever be any common ground at all here, because I think that those who are for it, like myself, struggle in trying to relay what the protest is all about. And then you have just a flat-out opinion by many folks out there that, hey, this is the national anthem. You don't disrespect the national anthem. I don't care for what purpose. And you know what they do? They immediately just tune out and don't even try to listen to those players who are implementing this protest, who are trying to exercise their right as an American to shine some light on some really harsh realities here in America. There's a lot of ignorance in this conversation. But the fact that the Dolphins were trying to implement a 4-game suspension, your reaction to this, Connor, because I thought it was just utterly ridiculous.
Crazy. Absolutely ridiculous. Like you said, the NFL doesn't know what they're doing. They first come out and they say, we're going to put out this nice little policy and it's going to be nice and easy. But then in the second part of that, they say, oh, we're going to leave it to the teams. When you leave it to the teams, you're going to have one team, like maybe let's say Philadelphia. Philadelphia might say, you know, we might not fine or suspend people. You might have another team that says, we're going to suspend people, but we're not going to fine them. It's too much difference. Like it ultimately is going to hurt your team, because if a player wants to protest, oh, I would either go to Philadelphia Eagles because they're not gonna give me a fine, or they're not gonna suspend me, rather than going to Miami. And the other thing too is the part that really ticked me off, because I'm a Dolphins fan, and the thing that.
You're a Dolphins fan?
Yeah.
How did that come about?
You saw my Miami Heat hat. I got a Miami Dolphins hat too. That's a long story. I'll tell you that later. But right. But like the thing was that ticked me off was the entire process. We had that Kenny Stills who was doing protests for Kaepernick, and Kenny Stills does wonderful things down there for the community and education, all that good stuff. But yet Stephen Ross the whole time, like, I back my players. And then now to do a complete 180 and say, nope, we're going to fine you, we're going to suspend you. And I'm going to be honest with you. The Dolphins stink. They can't afford to be putting four-game suspension because someone wouldn't stand up for the national anthem or someone didn't want to come out for the national anthem. They can't afford to do that. Yeah. They're like a 6-10 team right now. You're going to suspend your better wide receiver, your better players because you don't agree with their point of view. That's just ridiculous. I think that's what it's going to come down to, because eventually, even if the league says, all right, forget it, you know, we're going to have a league policy of it's going to be X game suspended, if that, or it's going to be a fine, then eventually there's going to be players that just say, yeah, a couple days ago, Jarrell Casey for the Titans was like, you know, I don't care. I'll take the fine. I'll pay however much money you're going to charge me. I'm still going to do it. And then what you're putting the team in the position that you don't want to be. If it's a star player that does, if Tom Brady were to do this and the league policy was to suspend Tom Brady, how would that go over with the fans? Right. I think they would start caring then, because it starts affecting the product on the field.
That's a good point, because we haven't seen a crazy big superstar of the NFL have the guts to take a knee during the national anthem and have some backlash for doing it. But yeah, if Tom Brady was doing this protest, I'm curious to see and hear what the dialogue would be around that. But I think it's just crazy ridiculous. But this is a PR nightmare now for the NFL, especially. I don't know how this leaked. I don't know how this leaked to the press that the Miami Dolphins would even try to implement a four-game suspension for anybody, any player who participated in the national anthem. But I want to get your thoughts on this, listeners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And a source close to the team told the Miami Herald that the Dolphins had to have a policy in place before reporting to training camp. So the decision comes after the NFL decided back in May that teams would be fined if their players did not stand during the playing of the Star Spangled Banner. So apparently this has been in the works for a while now. This is not something that came out the blue for the Dolphins, who decided to say, all right, you know, we want to try a four-game suspension here for our players who decide to do this. So thoughts, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKARnews or tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, again, as promised, we will be chatting with Amanda Smith, survivor of Larry Nassar, who was present at the ESPY Awards on Wednesday, receiving the Arthur Ashe Courage Award. That and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Okay, again, just a reminder, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, a reminder that the weather is just it. Connor, Alec, this is really hurting me a little bit. I can't even lie. You know, I'm sensitive. I'm a sensitive brother. And it didn't rain at all this entire week. It's been beautiful. And then Friday comes, the day when we actually plan something special, right? The first time we plan on taking the show on the road at Cooley Law School Stadium, it decides to rain, right? And I think, who was it? I think it was Vince. Vince, one of our fantastic interns here at WKAR, you know, we're sitting there testing things and setting up, and Vince looked at his phone and said, yeah, Al, it looks like it's going to be raining. But I think, Connor, you were the first one to tell me, I think.
Yeah, I literally came in on Monday, and you brought up the live show, and I literally looked at the phone. I'm like, all right, it looks nice. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm like, oh. And then Friday was thunderstorms. Ugh.
Not fun. Not fun. But we're still going to try to make it fun. If we can get out there and do the show, we're still going to do it, folks, all right? Even if I have to do it from the press box of Cooley Law School Stadium. But if it gets really, really bad and they somehow, some way cancel tonight's game, Again, we'll be running PBS NewsHour, and I promise you, in the future, we will have multiple current sports broadcasts on the road. All right, so stay tuned for that. So it's not a total loss here if we don't have a show tonight. All right, let's transition now. I am excited to have this incredibly courageous woman here on WKAR's Current Sports. You know, we talked a lot on yesterday's Current Sports about the ESPYs. If you watched it again, every single year I watch the ESPYs, it is a challenge for me. Again, I'm a sensitive brother. It is a challenge for me to hold back tears. We saw Jim Kelly get honored for, his perseverance with cancer. He received the Jimmy V Perseverance Award. We saw Jake Wood, former Wisconsin football player, receive the Pat Tillman Award for service with his Rubicon natural disaster relief efforts. An amazing, amazing young man. And, there were some funny moments. Danica Patrick, her jokes weren't really hitting like that. But still, she tried. She did a good job. I thought she overall did a solid job, but not a mind-blowing job. It was really a great show, though, as it is every single year. But the moment that stole the entire show, they saved truly the most riveting moment, the best for last. That being the tribute to the survivors of Larry Nassar, in which we saw 141 young women and girls take the stage to receive the Arthur Ashe Award. It was truly amazing to see all of them grace the stage, standing side by side, shoulder to shoulder, facing the world in their truth and showing so much strength. And right now we have one of those incredible women who join us right now live here in Studio S. You can actually see her smiling face courtesy of Facebook.com/WKAR News. Her name is Amanda Smith. She was out in L.A. on that stage. She is a survivor of Larry Nassar. Amanda, first off, welcome back and thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Definitely. I want to start by asking you to kind of take us through the beginning of this honor for all of you guys. Amanda, when did you receive word that you, along with your fellow sister survivors, would be attending the ESPYs and receiving the Arthur Ashe Courage Award?
We got the word about a month and a half ago, and we kind of... emails trickled in here and there, and some people got theirs first, and we all kind of talked to each other. So it kind of got out really quickly and spread through us all that we were getting the award, and we were just completely shocked. And it was just, we didn't think that that was even going to be a thing. And, you know, when we came forward, it wasn't so that we could get these awards or do anything. It was really just to get our words out there and make sure that other people felt comfortable coming forward and doing these kinds of things, because it's not something that's easy to talk about. Mm-hmm. We just want to make it kind of easier for other girls and boys and anybody really just to get their truth out there.
So you received word that you guys would be honored at the ESPYs via email.
Yes.
Right? Before we move forward here, I just want to briefly talk about your story.
Yeah.
When you decided to come forth, when did the abuse happen to you? And did you testify in court as well?
I did.
You did.
Yeah. So everybody that was at the ESPYs that was on stage are the ones that testified or had public statements in court.
Gotcha.
Yep. But I was abused when I was 13. Luckily, it only happened the one time to me, but I've known Larry since I was 8. Mm-hmm. I did gymnastics at Twistars, and I knew him very well and kind of got treated by him periodically while I was there, and then got abused when I was actually going into my sophomore year, in between freshman and sophomore year of high school, when I was actually a track athlete.
Wow.
So, yeah, I was a little bit older than some of the other girls because some of them, I mean, it started really young.
Right.
Yeah, it just, ugh.
So those 141 were those who stood in court and gave their survivor impact statements in front of Judge Rosemarie Aquilina,
yes,
who was actually present there.
She was.
It was great to see her in the crowd. Because I didn't know if she was going to show up either. But
yeah, actually, Lieutenant Detective Andrea Munford and mm-hmm. Angie Povilaitis and Rebecca Snyder were all there with Judge Aquilina. It was an amazing. They kind of all surprised us. We didn't know that they were going to be there. So
right.
We saw them when we checked into the hotel, and we're just so elated to see them.
Incredible. Incredible. Yeah. Amanda, can you take us through the experience of the trip from the moment you stepped on that plane to head to Los Angeles?
Yeah. I mean, as soon as we got to the airport, some of us know each other, some of us don't. So it was kind of like seeing all these faces that you've seen before because we saw each other in court. But we didn't really know that we've talked to each other on Facebook. We saw each other, got on the plane. There were hugs, tears, everything, kind of nervous energy. Got to L.A., got to the hotel, which was amazing.
Just where'd you guys stay at?
The Hotel Indigo.
Indigo, okay.
Yeah. So we get checked in, got to our rooms, which were, again, amazing and immaculate. And, you know, we had the rehearsal dinner that night.
Mm-hmm.
Or not dinner, but rehearsal that night. And so we all got dressed up, kind of. Some of us went out. Some of us stayed in nervous energy again. It was a lot of emotions for everybody. But then we got to the Microsoft Theater for our rehearsal. And I think that's kind of when it all hit, that we were really there. We kind of got set up into little groups and how we all kind of walked out from different points on the stage. So we got put into our groups and we're kind of mingling. We run through where we're going to go. And then they show us this package, the video package that they played after Jennifer Garner spoke.
Right. And that was the first time you guys have seen that package.
We did.
So this is the day before the ceremony on Tuesday.
Yep. So
okay.
I flew in that morning. So I got there Tuesday around noon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then I flew out Thursday morning.
Right.
So it was kind of all just a whirlwind, super quick, kind of surreal, very quick.
When you saw the video package during the rehearsal, what kind of atmosphere and mood was that amongst you all?
They warned us. A lot of the producers, they were so, so good to us.
Mm-hmm.
They cleared out the whole theater of all personnel that didn't need to be there. They made sure we were all comfortable, sat us down, told us a little bit what was going to happen, and showed the package. I mean, tissues everywhere, and so many tears. Just mm-hmm. so emotional, so raw, and so powerful. We had known that they were going to put something together because we sent in a few of the pictures that were playing on the back screen when we were standing up there.
Right, during the impact statements.
Yep.
Right.
And so we knew that they were going to do something, but we didn't know it was going to be that. And
right.
to have that play and kind of give all the information that needs to be out there, people need to know what really happened and how important it is for us to really get our truths out there. It was so emotional and just it was rewarding too, because mm-hmm. I mean, how many times in your life are you going to be able to really get that message out there on that big of a stage?
That is so true. I mean, I watched it and I began to get a very emotional. And that's the thing about the ESPYs. You have these big time athletes and superstars.
Yeah.
They're watching this moment and tearing up.
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
Just incredibly emotional. And I was wondering how they were going to honor you guys. I didn't know all of you were going to come out of the crowd and then walk up. And again, it was choreographed. So you guys knew, you guys rehearsed this on Tuesday. So you knew where to stand in that image. Was incredibly powerful. I'm curious, who organized that image? Was it a kind of a consensus among you all that you guys wanted to come out the crowd and
no, that was all of the ESPY producers.
So that was all ESPN.
Yes.
Wow.
They really orchestrated everything. Everything that you saw. There's so many men and women behind the scenes that made it happen.
Right.
And each little group that came out had like three people that were working with them from ESPN that were really orchestrating where we needed to be and the remarks on the stage. Like, we knew these are your windows. This is where you stand.
Right.
So, I mean, it was a solid 2 hours. We worked on, you know, blocking that out and getting us where we needed to be to make sure that it really was a powerful statement so that you could see. I mean, that wasn't even all of us, but
right,
half of us, really.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And I believe ESPN flew all of you guys out,
yes.
Food and everything, right? You guys were catered to the entire time.
Exactly. Hair and makeup done.
Hair and makeup done as well?
Yeah.
Wow. Absolutely amazing. If you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with a survivor of Larry Nassar, Amanda Smith. She was present out in Los Angeles on Wednesday during the ESPY ceremony where the Larry Nassar survivors received the Arthur Ashe Courage Award. So, Amanda, does every survivor get an actual ESPY to put on the mantle?
No.
Oh, what? Are you kidding me?
I wish.
That's a lot of awards.
It is, but actually, this bracelet, I don't know if you can see it.
Okay.
You
got to show it to our Facebook listeners there, viewers.
Yeah. So they gave all of us that were present a bracelet, and then they're sending out ones to those who are anonymous as well. It says Courage on it, and then it's got a diamond, and then on the inside it says I am unbreakable.
Wow.
And then the date engraved.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
For you, you know, again, we talk about that image. We talked about it a lot on yesterday's Current Sports. Seeing you all stand side by side together in strength and that image being just really riveting. What was that moment like when you walked up there, when it came and you walked up there and you're standing there and you're looking at ideally the world?
Yeah.
What was going through your mind?
Well, first, don't fall, don't fall, don't fall.
That's the first thing, right?
Yes, get up the steps and don't make a mistake. But as soon as we were up there, I mean, we had the rehearsal and it was surreal looking out, seeing, you know, they have the billboard or the cardboard where everybody's sitting.
Right.
So we kind of knew where everybody was going to be sitting. And that, again, was surreal. But when you were up there and it was live and I stood literally right in front of Chloe Kim, who I adore. And
Olympic hero, right?
Yes, and she's adorable. And I was like trying to hold it together. And the girl who was standing next to me, who I'm really good friends with, was like starting to tear up. And I look over at her and I'm like, oh God, no, I'm going to cry. And then Chloe Kim is crying, like wiping tears. And Kate Beckinsale was right there and lost it.
I'm sure.
I don't think any of us were really not crying. It was just so surreal. And it almost felt like it wasn't happening. Like it was a dream because, again, when in your life are you going to have that? Like usually you're applauding these athletes and actresses that were there and to have them stand, giving us a standing ovation. And I think it really clicked like how powerful our statements are and how big this was. I think that was kind of the first step of, this is something good coming out of something so bad.
You can say that again. Very well said, Amanda. And when it comes to Jennifer Garner, who presented the award to you guys.
She's adorable.
I love Jennifer. I'm a big fan of hers.
She's so cute.
Did she show up to the rehearsal dinner on
Tuesday?
So it wasn't
dinner, but...
I mean, not dinner, the rehearsal for the ceremony,
so she
right?
She was there and, you know, she came in and she made sure that she greeted all of us. She hugged every single one of us and really like made a connection with all of us. And she's so sweet.
Amazing, isn't she?
Yeah.
She seems like an amazing person.
She's
really.
So just genuinely down to earth, cared, just was clearly in awe of us, which is so weird to say.
Right.
Because we were all so starstruck, but.
Right.
Yeah.
Tiffany Thomas Lopez, Allie Raisman, and I believe Sarah Klein represented you all as far as giving the acceptance speech to the public. As you all stood in back of them, whose decision was it to select those three? Why those three? Not sure. That's ESPN as well.
Yep.
Did you hear their speeches on Tuesday before they gave it on Wednesday? Okay. What did you think of what they had to say?
Again, we've communicated with all of these people throughout this whole case.
Right.
But Sarah Klein, I don't know. I'm so drawn to her. She, in her package, it says she came forward because she's got a 2-year-old daughter. She wants to really just be able to tell her daughter one day and have her daughter be proud of this change that she's making in the world. And I have a 4-year-old daughter and a 3-year-old son. And in my victim impact statement, I said, "This it's why I came forward. I want my kids to be safe." So when we saw that packet, I lost it. It was just so raw for me. Like, it just...
Amanda, I think you're looking at my notes, because that's where I was going next. Sarah Klein noted in her piece that ran before... I actually wrote it down when I was watching it live. She noted in the piece that ran before the acceptance speech that she wanted to come forth to tell her story to show, quote, her daughter, that her mom was brave and that her mom stood up.
Yes.
That was a very powerful moment in that piece.
Yeah.
And for you, Amanda, when doing some Facebook digging, I know that you do have a boy and a girl, as you just noted. What kind of message did you want to send to your kids? And you kind of just briefly talked about it here. In relation to you coming forth and sharing your story of this abuse, when they grow up and really look back at this moment for you standing in court and sharing your story, what do you want them to take away?
That it was a really bad thing that happened, but to not be afraid to tell somebody, that it's okay to talk to an adult, tell someone. Even in your heart, if you think something's wrong, it probably is.
Mm-hmm.
I never went back to Larry after my abuse. I ended up going to other doctors in the practice, even though I didn't know it was wrong because he told me it was okay. But I felt just something was off. And if I would have just spoke out, maybe something would have changed. Well, clearly it wouldn't have, because people had spoke out. But I want my kids to be comfortable to be able to talk about these issues. It's something that's so taboo, and it shouldn't be. It should be taboo for people to do it. It shouldn't be taboo for people to talk about it.
Right.
And even if you shake and cry when you're telling the truth, if you're telling the truth, you're doing something right.
Right.
You should never be scared to speak the truth. And that's really what I want my kids to know. I want gymnastics and all sports and everything to be safe for our kids. I'm terrified to put my kids in gymnastics right now. Everything's falling apart in the sport.
So you're not happy with the leadership of USAG. Are you happy with the leadership here at Michigan State University? I think I hit a button there when I asked that.
You know, I really had hope when Louanna Simon left that maybe they would put someone there that really understood. And, you know, John Engler said the right words, but did it the wrong way. He said he would take us under his wing. He'd be there. He'd treat us like his own daughters. And I don't know about you, but if I treated my kids like that, they'd probably hate me. It's just unbelievable. Just, ugh.
That means no. I'm not happy with the leadership here at Michigan State University.
Yeah.
Amanda, before we you leave us here on this this Friday afternoon, looking back at the experience this week out in L.A., what was the most, and again, it's hard to choose, so many moments, I'm sure, when you were out there, but what do you think is the most memorable experience for you?
Honestly, standing on that stage and seeing everybody, just, it's a feeling that it's so hard to put into words.
Mm-hmm.
It just was so uplifting, and to see that people actually support us, it wasn't like, you can't fake that emotion that people are having, and to see that people really do truly care about this and they want some sort of change. And to hear what people were saying afterwards and at the after party, people came up to us and it was amazing.
Biggest star that you met? Most memorable star that you met? Did you get a chance to meet Chloe Kim? I hope.
Well, no, but I stood next to her when she, so at the after party, they had Little John as a DJ, and then...
The Little John?
Yes.
The what? Little John?
Yes.
Wow.
And then G-Eazy.
G-Eazy. Oh, he was one of the presenters I saw on Wednesday as well. Okay.
Yeah, so we were front row, and Chloe Kim was in the VIP section right next to us, and she actually rapped one of his songs with him. And she's adorable, but probably the three of them, they were all right there in front of me.
Definitely.
And Black Panther.
You met Chadwick Boseman?
Yeah. He came.
That's like one of my heroes now.
Yeah,
wow.
He came in, because we actually weren't in the SB stage.
Yeah.
When they were doing the awards, we were in like a little alcove room.
Right.
But he came back and met us all and took pictures. And
So you have a picture with Chadwick Boseman.
We have a group picture, but yes.
Incredible. Chadwick, you were the man.
I'm
a little jealous, Amanda.
He's awesome.
Well, I tell you what, Amanda, on behalf of us all here at WKAR, we admire the strength and courage that you all have shown throughout this entire horrific ordeal. Again, we want to say thank you for coming on WKAR's Current Sports and continue to spread that message that, look, if you see something wrong, say something, because this could have been prevented. Yeah. Amanda Smith, survivor of Larry Nassar. Amanda, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Wow. I don't know how we top that one, folks. As we have, I wanted to get James. Do we have James Moore on right now, Connor? We do. We have James Moore on. James Moore, former MSU fullback for the 1988 Rose Bowl championship team, now philanthropist, motivational speaker, and founder of Speaking with a Purpose. James, I had planned to have you on for a longer segment, but Amanda really stole the show here. An amazing interview there. But I just wanted to, you heard what Amanda had to say. I just want to get your final thoughts, as we have just 3 minutes left here in the show, your final thoughts on what happened on Wednesday at the ESPYs and watching the incredible strength of those 140-plus survivors receiving the Arthur Ashe Courage Award. How does Michigan State University heal from this, James?
You know what, though? When they stand up, and when I was just listening to Amanda and watching that on, you know, Sunday,
Wednesday,
I teared up.
Yeah.
You hear me? I teared up. I don't know if she's still here listening.
She
but
is.
You know what? Go, girl. That's what it's about. We have to... It happened, and we got to move forward. We got to grow from this. And what they're doing, speaking out, sharing, is what it's all about. They're swapping it out, man.
You can say that again, James. Swapping out that negative energy for positive energy and using their story for some positive change. Right, James?
Yes. I was just listening to her, and just, you know, I'm like, I can just feel the emotions. Just feel it all. But that's what letting it out does. It's therapy. It's getting it out.
Yeah.
Letting the world know that we have to do something. We have to make some changes.
We certainly
and it
do.
It starts right here with us.
Yeah, it definitely does, James. All right, James, we'll be sure to get you back on next week. We appreciate those words. James Moore of the Swap Meet, founder of Speaking with a Purpose, and of course, former fullback of the 1988 Rose Bowl championship team. And now philanthropist as well. He does it all. James, appreciate your time, my man. Appreciate the call.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you, man.
All right. With a minute left, we must bid you all adieu. It has been one incredible week here on WKAR's Current Sports. Again, keep it locked to Facebook.com/WKAR News and our Twitter feeds at Al Martin. WKAR is my Twitter handle. And the show's Twitter handle is at WKAR_sports. We'll keep you updated. If Mother Nature lets up, we'll be live from 6 to 7 p.m. downtown Lansing at Cooley Law School Stadium. Let's cross our fingers, right? Until then, folks, I'll see you at 6. And if not, I'll see you Monday. I'm Al Martin reminding you all to always be easy, people.